And apparently grandfather loved the idea and said yes immediately. And he then covered the running costs of the appeal. So the company covered the running costs of the appeal. And that's how it all started on Good Friday.
I'm Jen Kelly from the Herald Sun, and this is In Black and White, a podcast about some of Australia's forgotten characters. We're back for the final part of our three-part history on the Royal Children's Hospital and the Good Friday Appeal. Today we're speaking to Penny Fowler, who is the chairman of the Good Friday Appeal and the Herald and Weekly Times, and the granddaughter of Sir Keith Murdoch and Dame Elizabeth Murdoch. Today we'll hear more about the origins of the Good Friday Appeal and her family's special connections to this beloved fundraiser. Welcome to the podcast, Penny.
Thank you, Jen.
Now, to begin with, one of the most interesting things about the appeal is it traces its history back 93 years, but in the very early days in the 1930s, it wasn't originally on Good Friday, was it?
No, it wasn't. In 1931, a group of journalists from the Sporting Globe went to my grandfather, Sir Keith Murdoch, who was then the managing editor of the Herald, and said, "We want to raise money for sick children." And they wanted to have a carnival to raise funds. And so they had a carnival which raised a total of £427. And it's actually quite a good story. They had 20,000 people there, which would have been a lot during those days. And they had a sports carnival which had jockeys playing football against each other, which I think is quite amusing. So if you think about that, it started off from a really small seed, and it was for sick children, raising money for sick children through a sports carnival.
And I'd love you to help us paint a picture of that day, because I think people are not always aware of what these grand processions were like back in the days in Melbourne before television. They used to just get tens of thousands of spectators lining the streets of Melbourne. And that day there was a Cobb & Co. carriage procession down the streets, and there were festivities, and there was this football match. It would have just been such a sight to see.
It would have been. And I think you've explained it, and sort of you've done the colour of it, Jen. I mean, can you imagine that sort of all these people out there and having a sports carnival? I just think also having jockeys playing football is unique too, and having 20,000 people there. I mean, that's a lot of people to go to a sports carnival and to raise, you know, a total of £427, which we all think, oh, £427. But can you imagine how much money that was during that time? So it's really quite incredible. And I think every year they did that for years. They kept on having this sports carnival. And then in 1942, Jim Blake and a group of journalists went to grandfather again and said, "Look, why don't we move it, have a carnival, move it to Good Friday and make it an all-day event that was to be run?" And they suggested run by the Sporting Globe and the company's radio station, the Herald Weekly Times radio station, which was 3DB. And apparently grandfather loved the idea and said yes immediately. And he then covered the running costs of the appeal. So the company covered the running costs of the appeal. And that's how it all started on Good Friday and moved to Good Friday in 1942. I think another interesting thing about that is, you know, they had in those days, they still had people on the phone. Women were on the phone. And in 1942, there were 36 women at the first telethon. So that telethon concept started all those years ago in 1942, and putting it on Good Friday, owning that day, if you think back, is such an incredibly what a great thing that they've actually done for the Good Friday Appeal and for the Children's Hospital.
And there were some people who did think that Good Friday might be a little bit controversial, weren't there, because it was considered to be a sacred day.
Yes, I imagine there would have been quite a lot of people thinking that. And if you think about it, that's what's been, I think, one of the unique things about the Good Friday Appeal is everyone coming together. And ever since the beginning, it's always been about giving what you can, and every bit makes a difference. And so it's done for all of our sick children. So I think people were like, okay, this is a great thing to do on Good Friday. And there wasn't a lot else on. And so I think that's sort of unique as well. And they didn't, you know, we didn't have football matches in those days, and everyone went to church and went home and, you know, probably listened to the radio and thought, oh, what can I do to help? And so I think that's it was a very unique idea. And I think it would have been taking people a few years to get used to, but it was opportunistic of the people at the time to do that. But it wasn't seen, I don't think, as something that was anti the community. It was a very, you know, very inclusive of everyone trying to do something to help sick children. So I think it was sort of separated from what Easter and Good Friday is. I mean, that's how I sort of perceive what it was like.
And once it was on that all-day 3DB telecast, that was when it really became huge as well, because that you got all the entertainers involved and the sportsmen, and radio was so huge back then because people would just sit around their radios at night and listen to their favourite entertainers telling them stories. So everyone wanted to hear every second of the telecast and what their favourite entertainers had to say.
Yeah, but what I love about that is, you know, they would have been sitting around listening to their radio and it was, but radio is still so important. You know, if you think about it. And so, and the Herald Weekly Times and Sporting Globe and all of those amplifying to all the audiences then the same messages about, you know, here we are on Good Friday sitting around, you know, if you've got $10, can you ring up and donate? And what that's what I love. We still have a phone room. You know, here we are 93 years later and you still have a telephone room manned now by about 260 people over the whole day and people are still ringing up and donating their $10. And I sit on the phone sometimes and I love taking calls on Good Friday and there will be people who ring up and say, I've been donating for 50 years, you know, and this year I can do $10. And so I think, isn't that a beautiful thing to think that every year you would come back, you make that effort to come and just donate what you can. I love that. And I think that telethon, originally through the radio and the mastheads and now through the mastheads and television and radio, you know, we've got lots of different media partners now. I think that's really one of the unique things about the Good Friday Appeal is that, you know, we just value everything they can do for us. So whatever you can do for us is valued.
Now, so we've talked about Sir Keith Murdoch, your grandfather. What about your grandmother, Dame Elizabeth? So she was obviously a supporter of the Royal Children's Hospital from very early on. How did that all begin?
Well, it's a great story, actually. Granny, when she was in high school in Woodend, there was it's like a competition of who could knit the most singlets. And the winner of the person who knit for children, and so she knitted the most singlets, and her reward was to go on a tour of the hospital. And that's how she first came to the hospital. And that was her introduction to the hospital. And then she actually went on the committee. She was only 24 in 1933. She went on the committee, which was very young, keeping in mind she got married at 19. So she was probably, you know, a mature 24-year-old. Then she became the president of the committee in 1954 to 1965. And during that time, the new hospital was opened by the Queen, or the then new hospital. And then she was chairman of the board of the Research Foundation from 1960 to 1968, and then vice chairman from 1968 to 1979. So basically she was also patron of the auxiliaries. And so she was involved 85 or 103 years she was involved with the hospital. And
incredible.
She just loved it. It really is incredible, I think, that she would be so dedicated. And she just loved doing. She always made quotes about how she really wanted to do. She was a doer, although she obviously was, you know, supported things. But she really gave by doing a lot and by giving a lot of herself. And she loved doing as much as she could. She didn't like children being sick.
It would have been, I guess, the biggest passion of her life.
I think it was one of the biggest passions the hospital of her life, yes. I mean, she was passionate about everything. That was what was amazing about her. But, yes, I mean, if you look back, and because not only with the hospital, you had the Good Friday Appeal, you've got the hospital, now it's called the Murdoch Children's Research Institute, which she was a co-founder of, and so that journey, and then being patron of the auxiliaries. So it was always an ongoing part of her life. And, I mean, there's photos of her, you know, being driven in wheelbarrows, going down the street in Mornington, raising funds for the Good Friday Appeal.
Yeah, I know, it's lovely. I just love that photo. And I think myself, here she is with a little hat on, sitting in a wheelbarrow, going down the street of Mornington.
There is a photo I have to get from you, Penny. That has got to go with the story with this podcast. That sounds amazing.
Yes, it really is.
So she was very, very passionate about the hospital.
And tell us more about Dame Elizabeth's motivation for helping kids at the hospital.
Well, I think her motivation, one of the things I think is this quote that she used to quote all the time, always be committed to improving the lives of those less fortunate, less able and less equipped than yourself. And I think, you know, she married grandfather when she was very young and he was a very committed community man. And I think she just always wanted to help and that's how she lived her life, by doing. I think I said that earlier. And a quote like that to me represents she just felt that she wanted to do as much as she could to help other people who are less fortunate or not well.
We'll be back to talk about how the Good Friday Appeal evolved in the 1940s and 50s, so stay with us.
Hey, I'm Felicity Harley and I host Healthy-ish, where we chat to experts, influencers and people in the know from around the globe to arm you with the knowledge to make healthier decisions for your mind, body and soul.
I think if we're going to be focusing on health, like sleep is probably the biggest component of that.
I think sleep is the cornerstone.
Like choose the harder option because I've never woken up and gone, I regret that run that I went at 4 a.m. I've never done that.
Search for Healthy-ish and Extra Healthy-ish wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's go back to the Good Friday Appeal milestones. Take us to the 1940s. What were the big events of that decade?
Well, apart from the radio telethon starting with the Sporting Globe, in 1946, the first collection tin was placed on the counter of the George Hotel in South Melbourne. And that's a long time ago. And we now have collection tins. We have tens of thousands across pubs, clubs, shops, businesses across Victoria. And so that's one of the things I think is so unique and what I love about the Appeal is we do all these things that have been done for so long, and maybe we can temporise them as we go along, but these traditions are still there and people still go into stores. I got a photo just now coming down, someone being a fish and chip shop, and there's a Good Friday Appeal tin. And I thought, isn't that just fantastic? So that was 1946. And then I think the next milestone was probably, there were always milestones, but 1957 was when we partnered with Channel 7, which was called HSV7. Which was stood for Herald Sun Victoria. And the Herald Weekly Times, we partnered with them and they came on and we had the first telethon telecast. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that was a game changer because if you think about it, all these years, the Herald Sun, well, the Herald and the Sun News Pictorial, we had been the people who'd really driven that. We'd always driven, and we still do drive, all the editorial coverage, all the amazing coverage that we do of the patients, of, you know, the stories of the hospital and the families and the patients. And so I think, though, then to actually have a telethon and have all the talent come on, and it's like, you know, going from listening to your radio to watching your television and still and having a phone room that you could ring up. And so it just took it to – it's that strong media partnerships of having all different types of media to amplify your messages. Mm-hmm. And so I think 57 was an interesting time and another sort of game changer for us. Obviously 42 – and then 1957.
For sure. And I think a lot of our listeners wouldn't be aware that back then HSV7 was actually owned by the Herald and Weekly Times. That's why it's called Herald Sun Victoria or Herald Sun Vision. Amazing. Most people still know that it's HSV7, but they wouldn't know what the HSV actually stands for.
And I think that's also what's unique about the Herald Weekly Times as a company. We were the ones who started that. Even though it was on the Sporting Globe, it was part of the Herald Weekly Times. We started the Appeal. I think about my grandfather actually having the vision to set that up in 1931 and to back all those things was very visionary of him in those days.
Now, Penny, just going back to Dame Elizabeth, there's pretty much every family in Victoria had a time that they've depended on the Royal Children's. Is that true of Dame Elizabeth's family as well?
Yes, well, look, our family, every generation of our family, there has been someone who's been in the hospital. Now, we've had, my mother's generation and then my generation and then my children's generation across the family, there's been people who've had different issues that have to go in there. So I think it's always been part, but I think Granny didn't get involved because we think about it, she was so young when she got involved. And so maybe that just inspired her to do more and more because I know, you know, one of her daughters spent some time in the hospital. And I think we all as a family, I think that's what you're saying is everyone's touched by the hospital, whether it's your own family, a friend, a work colleague, we all seem to know someone who has been helped by the hospital in some way.
Penny, in the last few decades, what have been some of the other big milestones in the evolution of the Good Friday Appeal?
Well, I think a couple. Run for the Kids, definitely. Run for the Kids is in its 18th year. It was started in 2006. And this year it's raised $21.6 before last Sunday, where we raised $1.3 million. We had 25,000 people participating in Run for the Kids, whether you were walking or running. And what a great community event that is. And it's amazing. And you watch all these people, and a lot of the people are running for people from the hospital, a lot of people wearing shirts, remembering someone or helping someone. So that has been I think that's been an absolutely amazing initiative to have a run like that and own that and go with partner with Transurban and be able to go over the Balti Bridge and through the tunnel is pretty amazing. Another one will be the Charity House Auction. That has raised so far $19.2 million and it's been going. Henley have donated homes for 31 years, have been building homes, and Villawood for 14 years with the land. And so that's a lot of money. Last year the house went for $1 million. So that's another thing I think that's a bit of a milestone or something different that's made a real difference. And then Kids Day Out, which we have down at the Convention Centre, where we had 100,000 people last year. And that's been going, I think, for around – used to be at Etihad when it was called Etihad Stadium, and then it was moved to the Convention Centre 10 years ago. And, you know, to have 100,000 people wandering through there, and we have something called the Teddy Bear Hospital, which is a cardboard hospital. Little kids bring their teddy bears and they go and get them checked out. And we have 1,500 medical students from Melbourne University who come and volunteer. And so those things all add up and I think all make a difference each year to having different things and new things and just putting all those building blocks in place. And so we have all these different things that make up that amazing
number. Penny, you say little kids, but my 12-year-old daughter is still insisting that we go to the Teddy Bear Hospital again this Good Friday.
Yeah, it's really great, isn't it?
It's so popular.
And it started off Paul Mongolay from the Royal Children's Hospital. He started it years ago and he's been incredible.
Such a brilliant idea.
And I love the fact it's cardboard. I mean, you have to actually go and see it to believe it. And Vizzy build all the hospital and paint all the cardboard and set it up. And these people come through and you've got all these training medical students checking people's teddy bears. And I took my grandson through last year. I just loved it.
It's so much fun. And of course this year, 2024, another huge milestone year with the regional expansion. What's that all about?
Well, I think we're all really excited about the regional expansion. We have been, I think after 93 years to be able to continue and be able to help all Victorians and all children's hospitals and start off by, through the children's hospital, giving some of the money to regional health services and regional hospitals is fantastic because at the end of the day, we're raising money from the Victorian public and from everywhere we can and we're asking everyone to give what they can. If we can take that world-class excellence of the Royal Children's Hospital out into our regions and help people in regional Victoria access that care closer to home, it's a real game changer. And this year, I'm really excited about that because I feel like it's been a long time coming and to be able to do that. And we're going to support six different hospitals. We're going to put $2.5 million of the money that we raise is going to go to those hospitals. And it's going to make a real difference. And I think one example of that is last year with some of the funds, we bought a RetCam. It's called a RetCam piece of equipment for the children's hospital. And this year we're going to be able to buy that RetCam piece of equipment for La Trobe Valley Health. And that means that if your child has that condition, rather than having to come back and forth to the hospital multiple times, you're able to go to your local hospital and receive that world-class treatment. So I think it's a game changer for us. I think it's really exciting to be able to do that. And I feel like that's what we want to do, help as many people as we can, as many children we can, and as many sick children in as many hospitals as we can. Mm. But also importantly, take the excellence of the children's hospital out to the regions.
We'll be back after a short break to chat about what the future holds for the Good Friday Appeal. So stay with us.
Access a world of true crime podcasts on CrimeX Plus, where award-winning journalists take a deep dive into unsolved cases.
Every week, we're waking up to a dead woman, a dead mother, sister, auntie, grandmother. It's not good enough.
From the team that brought you The Teacher's Pet, Shadow of Doubt and Dying Rose, unlock early, ad-free and bonus content from brand new series and flagship shows such as I Catch Killers with Gary Jubelin.
One was shot in the mouth and I thought he was dead. Another one had been shot with a shotgun and I got the overspray.
Search for CrimeX Plus on Apple Podcasts to start digging deep into the world of true crime.
So we've talked about the past, 93 years of the past. We've talked about the present. What about the future?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I think it's really interesting. I mean, we've raised a total of $444 million over the 93 years. And we were lucky last year, we raised $23 million last year. And every year you sit there and you think, people say to me, well, obviously you want to break the record. And I'm like, well, actually, you don't necessarily... We want to raise as much money as we can. You have to understand the moment we have the cost of living crisis. And so, we hope that people still support us in whatever way they can. And so I think that the future is to continue to raise money, as much money, obviously contemporize the way we raise money too. I think you have to, as an organization that's been around for so long, we can still have our tin rattlers, we can have our phone rooms, we can do things, but we need to be always mindful of what is the modern ways of fundraising and how do we engage that next generation and how do we raise more money? So, for instance, we have a $10 raffle, online raffle. You know, we raised $1.3 million from a $10 raffle last year. So things like that. Mm-hmm. How do we get that next generation, you know, our children, our grandchildren, to volunteer for the appeal? That shifting of that generation is, I think, and making sure that you're always keeping up with the times and trying to raise that money through the whole community, that community feel and community fundraising, but make sure that you're raising as much money as you can, keeping in mind that essence of every dollar makes a difference, and it's really is truly whatever you can give, we value a lot and does help. So I think it's adapting to the times, maybe trying to be able to help more and more people. The more people we can help, in the more regional health services we can support over time, I think is an exciting opportunity for us.
And we will see thousands of volunteers out there today for Good Friday. But it's not just one day of the year, is it? It's all year round.
It's all year round. And that's what people don't realise, I think, is it's a year round appeal. And so whether we've got Roundup at Woolworths or whether we've got today, you know, the CFA, all the CFAs going out and collecting, doing roadside collections, whether it's Run for the Kids, whether it's people doing fundraisers in their communities, and people do fundraisers all year round, and all these things culminate on Good Friday, and the telethon on Good Friday, so it's the culmination of a year-round effort. And I think people think, oh, it's Good Friday, you know, what, nothing happens up until now, but that's actually completely not the case. And we have an amazing small team that work year-round, you know, setting this all up. And I don't know if you've seen our website. We have a great website that's very engaging but that all takes a lot of work and a lot of time. And also every year we're trying to do new things. Like this year we have a tram. We have a wrapped tram, you know, roaming around, going past the hospital. And I think isn't that great? So that raises awareness. So we're always trying to think of ways, you know, how can we raise more money? What's a better way to do things differently but still keep the history and some of those things that we do that are really important and yet also look to other ways of doing things.
And one final message to leave in front of mind of our listeners today, Penny?
Oh, I think today, Good Friday, is, you know, we really value everyone trying to give what they can and helping and just contributing, the volunteers, all the volunteers. I mean, thank you to all the volunteers. We have hundreds of thousands or 100,000, I think, volunteers that help us, which is an incredible amount. And so I think they're the backbone of the appeal. So I always like to thank all the volunteers, but also just thank the community and thank people who actually do go out and hold fundraisers themselves, everyone who donates, everyone who rings up a phone, buys a raffle ticket, whatever you do, comes to Kids Day Out. I think thank you, because it all adds up to being a great amount and all supports our sick children and the Children's Hospital.
Amazing. Thanks so much for sharing everything with us today, Penny.
Pleasure. Thanks so much, Jen.